Career-driven individuals, ready to unlock your potential? Discover William Peace University's School of Professional Studies. Our classes are tailored for the working professional. Attend class on your terms with our online sessions and choose from various start dates throughout the year. Dive into a curriculum designed for success. Every class is a stepping stone that takes you closer to your career goals. Take one or more classes. It's in your hands. Elevate your career with William Peace University's School of Professional Studies. Dive deeper at williampeace.info/SPS. Your journey begins here.
We are 28 hours and 7 minutes.
Very specific.
Exactly. Well, because I know it's a 5:07 p.m. Eastern time puck drop.
Very random.
Between the hurricane. Well, usually.
It's for the stragglers.
No,
they do that 7 minutes.
They always do that. It's 7 or 8 minutes before after the hour. Like.
It's always stragglers.
Yeah, we have anthems and all sorts of TV commercials that we have to get in before we actually drop the puck. This is not the Premier League where if it's a 3 o'clock game, it's a 3 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Where they kick off at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Which, like, there's something to be said for that.
3:06 and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, none of that. Michael Leboeuf, Action Network, Islanders Anxiety Podcast, my friend with the best Twitter name in the world, at the Big Lebowski. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. All right, we're going to start with the Islanders anxiety angle here, sir. So, level of Islanders anxiety, I would imagine it's probably low going into the best of seven tilt with the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's been a nice couple days here. The Islanders played their first meaningless game in 2 years. It was 169 straight meaningful games for the Islanders because they clinched in game 82 last year. Then they played 6 against you guys. And then they played basically an 81-game playoff to get in this year. Then they kind of got to take their foot off the pedal against the Penguins. So it's been nice and relaxing. And I think there is also a sense of calm among the team because, like, everybody knows, right, the Hurricanes are the Stanley Cup favorite for a reason. They're a big favorite in the series for a reason. There's no arguing that. But there is some, you know, serenity in being a big underdog in a series like this, especially with a team like the Islanders that seems to do its best work when it's counted out. And I will say that I think in a round one series, the Islanders of the potential opponents for the Hurricanes are probably, you know, specifically suited to give the Hurricanes the biggest scare because they've been here before. Like the Hurricanes' kind of unique style of chaotic hockey is not going to jolt this team. They've seen it before. So I've seen it plenty. So I think that in that way, like, they're going into game one with plenty of experience against it, and it won't be a feeling out process like it would be for some other teams in the conference.
Michael Leboeuf, Action Network, Islanders Anxiety Podcast, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. So, game plan this for me. If you are Patrick Waugh, what is the game plan for New York to get Carolina off their game?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the Islanders have done a pretty good job the past 2 weeks or so of playing a much simpler, direct game. Going forward and being a little more fresher focused in the neutral zone. And I think that's just sticking to that is going to be the only way that they can have a chance here. They're also going to, like, the Hurricanes, of course, are a great 5-on-5 team.
Yeah.
But the Islanders had an abysmal power penalty kill this season, last in the league. It looks like J.G. Peugeot is questionable for game one. He's a pretty stalwart penalty killer for them. So doing that, and you know, the Islanders have to just continue. Like, they can absorb as many shots as they want against the Hurricanes, but they're going to need to be the more physical team, I think, especially, you know, in that home plate area, both ends of the ice, to have a chance here. So I do think, like, the Islanders can do that. It just might not be enough.
Michael Leboeuf is joining us here to get ready for the Canes and the Islanders. What's the status of Noah Dobson? Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. You have a 401k, but you're changing jobs. You're taking that 401k with you. Next step.
Well, a lot of people leave it behind, which is not a good thing. I mean, if you're not at the company anymore, your 401k shouldn't either. That's when it's time for my 401k survival
box set.
You see it right here. I got workbooks, guidebooks, DVDs in here that explain everything about your 401k. More importantly, how to build a lifetime income. It's a $300 value. I'm also going to give you a total retirement plan, which is a $1,000 value for the next 18 of you who call right now. No cost or obligation.
Call 888-843-0013 or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
He's going to be in, and if the Islanders didn't have him, I would have said that their ceiling in the series was maybe 1.5 games, and that's with one getting lucky. But with him in, like the Islanders, that's a huge, huge deal. I think a lot of people are focusing on the fact that the Hurricanes were without Andrei Svechnikov last year when these two teams played, and Terry Vinen got hurt in the middle of the series, and they also didn't have Gensel yet. And but if you go back to that series and remember on the Islanders side, like they were missing Alex Romanov. Dobson was not good last year. This year he's been terrific, and their best defenseman by a mile. And also Matt Barzal had just come back from an injury, and he wasn't himself. So I do think it's in a weird way, like the Islanders are an improved bunch from what you saw last year. But the Hurricanes have probably improved maybe even a little bit more, which is why the odds are wider than they were last year. But yeah, I do think that if Dobson is in his in-season form, starting with game one, he really does change the outlook on the series for the Islanders.
He was a dynamic player in the season series. Also, Barzal was dynamite against Carolina during the season series, as was Bo Horvat. Now, neither of those guys have been great offensively of late. Kyle Palmieri has. And Palmieri cracked the 30-goal mark again, and he's got goals in, I think, 6 of his last 7 games. And Brock Nelson always scores against Carolina, although it wasn't a great season series, I don't think, for Brock Nelson against Carolina. So who are the guys who are going to carry the load offensively?
Yeah, I think when you're in Carolina and you know that Brendan Moore is going to be able to get the matchup he wants on your top line, you kind of have to just rely on the secondary guys. And the fact that Palmieri is in great form is a huge boon to the Islanders and their chances. He's also built for this. Like he does his best work in and around the net, and he's a bit of a bowling ball. He's very tough to keep off the puck and off the board. So I think Palmieri and Nelson, if they continue to play the way they are and provide some secondary scoring, it gets a little bit tighter for Carolina. But the big improvement on an individual level the past 2 weeks for the Islanders has been between Anders Lee, Pierre Engvall, and now fourth line center Kyle McLean, who was a call up in the middle of the year. Engvall was really bad for most of the year, but the past 2 weeks has looked a completely different player. And if you remember last year, he was perhaps the Islanders' best forward against the Hurricanes.
He was
in that 6-game series. And Lee also down year, but he's got his stuff together. Those two are playing on opposite wings on that third line, whether it be Peugeot or McLean there, depending on Peugeot's status, remains to be seen. But those three guys taking a step forward is also something I think is getting a little overlooked as we go into this, because why would you really notice that unless you've been watching this team throughout, right? Like, but it's something I'm trying to give myself a little bit of hope for. If they continue going in the right direction, all of a sudden you're looking at three lines with some scoring upside rather than just two.
All right, final thing before I ask you about value around the other, 7 playoff series. Is it going to be Semyon Varlamov and not Ilya Sorokin to start the series? My guess is that it will be.
Yeah, and that's the right decision, I think. We never know how a goalie will play on a given game day, but with how Varley has played the past 2 weeks, like he has potentially given the Islanders the chance to get this playoff berth. And Sorokin came under a lot of criticism for the way he's played this season, but when you look at the workload he faced in the first few months of the season, it was absurd. Like he had faced more shots by basically 8 games worth than the second most in the league, which was Georgiev, who had played 8 fewer games than him, and that was around the All-Star break. So now what I like about this is that you get Varley, and let's say he's good but not great. You have the ace in the hole because you know Sorokin has that feeling of just being an absolute series stealer. So, and I don't think it's very different on the Hurricane side, by the way. Like, if you go with Freddie, and we've seen Kachetkov play some really good hockey. So both teams are going into this with really good situations in goal, which last year, the reason the Islanders were kind of a trendy underdog was because everyone thought Sorokin was going to be able to steal a series, and the Hurricanes were a bit of a mess in their net. But now it's completely, it's strength and strength again.
It's amazing. All right, let me, Michael Leboeuf, Action Network, and the Islanders Anxiety Podcast. Rangers are the biggest favorite in the first round against Washington. I mean, honestly, I don't see that series going beyond five games. I can't even come up with a scenario that has that series going beyond five games. But where is the value around the league? Everything in the West is tight. And the only real upset I see in the East is Tampa over Florida.
Yeah, I think that the Rangers series is going to be a little trickier than I think people realize. And that's because, like, the Capitals play a very stodgy style, right? They're not going to try to engage the Rangers in anything back and forth. And that's what the Rangers want. So I do think that there's maybe a little bit of value betting the Capitals on, like, a game-to-game basis. I don't think they're going to win the series, but I do think that's how I would go about that. The other series, I do agree with you. I think Tampa, that series can go in a million different directions. I think we have a pretty good idea of how the other series are going to look, at least, like the path that they can go down. That Tampa-Florida series, you can tell me it ends in a sweep. You can tell me it ends in a seven-game, win for a team that comes from behind 3-0, and I would believe you. It's got chaos written all over it. I would lean towards Tampa there. And I think the Bruins should have a decent chance to be a good favorite against the Leafs with the goaltending edge that they have. So, and Toronto has so much to work out on their blue line. So I would lean towards Boston at the current prices too.
All right. And out West, I know everybody loves Edmonton. For whatever reason, I don't trust Colorado's goaltending at all. But I mean, every series is tight. What are you looking at out West?
Yeah, I think that my favorite thing to do out West is to just go into to look at some of the long shots to win the Stanley Cup. Like, I do think the Predators have a little bit of value at 50-1. Yeah. If they can get by the Canucks, I think that they can obviously go as deep as they want. And then I think in the same regard, I do think that Roman Josi at 100-1 to win the Conn Smythe is worth a look if you're looking for some bigger bets with bigger odds. And then for the Stars series, if Vegas takes a game or two, I think that you can definitely start to look at Dallas to win the Stanley Cup. I know that sounds counterintuitive,
right?
But right now, with the odds look a little short on Dallas, but I think if they go down 2-1, their odds should balloon a little bit. And I think that team is I think Carolina on the East, deepest team, fewest holes. I think it's the same thing with Dallas in the West. So that's how I would look at it.
Yeah, Dallas to win two rounds is plus 285, which isn't terrible value just to get to the conference finals. Michael Leboeuf, Action Network, and the Islanders Anxiety Podcast. Best part about the Hurricanes and Islanders hooking up is I get to talk to you maybe seven times and maybe more. So thank you.
I appreciate it. Good luck.
All right, you too. Michael Leboeuf. But, of course, it's tempered. I don't wish him that much luck, and he doesn't wish us
right?
That much luck.
Right.
Love Michael.
Just being a good sport.
Absolutely, because we're friends.
Yes.
All right.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.